Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on this Wednesday, July 19th, 2023. And lots to discuss in the land of the Phillies. Phillies have won four straight this time against. They opened the series last night with a win over the Milwaukee Brewers. They won three straight against the San Diego Padres, won three out of four from them. And as we stand right now here today, as things stand, as I mentioned, on Wednesday, July 19th, Phillies are in a playoff spot, and they are half game above the Miami Marlins. Yes, the Phillies are one half game above the Miami Marlins and in second place in the National League East, 52-42, 10 games above 500, the largest margin above 500 the Phillies have been the entire season. And the Phillies, you know, they're in a position where this is the best they've looked. They're really starting to hit their stride. This is the best this team has been playing. I mean, the best baseball this team's been playing all season. Bryce Harper looks like he's getting into a bit of a groove. The pitching staff getting into more of a groove. And it's really kind of proving that the way they played in April and May was, once again, just a bit of a fluke. And this team truly is good and worth investing in. And they are a team that I think there's a lot of confidence that they're going back to the postseason. Certainly that the expectations have gotten to a point where you can't just go back to the postseason. You need to at least win a round with this Phillies ball club. And the hot topic right now in the world of the Phillies is how much would you invest in this team and whether they should go after a guy like Juan Soto. Juan Soto, who's currently playing in San Diego, the San Diego Padres, with all that talent, with Fernando Tatis Jr., with Manny Machado, with Juan Soto, with all that talent, sit 7.5 games out of a playoff spot at 44-50. They just lost 3 of 4 to the Phillies. They do not look good, and they look like they're going to be sellers at the deadline. Juan Soto reportedly not happy with his situation in San Diego, and the first seed that was planted on this in terms of his connection to Philadelphia is when he actually traveled back with the Phillies home from the All-Star break, when the Phillies were out in Seattle, and Rob Thompson actually clarified this in the WIP Morning Show earlier today, that it wasn't just Soto specifically. They had actually offered this to the Marlins players playing in the All-Star game because the Phillies wrapped up a series in Miami previous to the All-Star game, and most teams do not charter a flight for their, you know, cup handful of All-Stars, but because the entire coaching staff of the Phillies were going out to the All-Star game, and Castellanos and Craig Kimbrell and their families were invited along to Seattle as well, they reached out and said, hey, to the Marlins players, let's be nice and let's, you know, and come along with us. You can travel on our chartered flight. And Thompson even made mention of the fact of, you know, in a similar if a similar situation ever arises, you know, we want to be a first-class organization. We hope that they do the same for our players. And same thing was done with the Phillies and the Padres. The Padres opened up post-All-Star break in Philadelphia, and Juan Soto was on the team plane. So there was a lot made of that, of like, all right, a guy with ties to Philadelphia who could be on the trade block, and maybe the Phillies go after another star. Dave Dombrowski loves to be a star hunter. Would Juan Soto be the guy that you possibly go after, and why is he on the team plane? So, A, I think that context was important. And apparently he also, Thompson yesterday, when he was asked about it down at the ballpark, kind of downplayed the whole thing. You know, kind of was like, hey, I just quickly said hello, said I respect your game. You obviously managed him in the All-Star game, but he's not going to say anything that makes him sound like he was tampering. Rob Thompson isn't the tampering type, but he is the reigning, you know, NL pennant-winning manager, and he was managing the All-Star game for a reason. And Juan Soto is not happy in San Diego or on the West Coast, and he's got plenty of former teammates and his former hitting coach in Kevin Long stationed here in Philadelphia. So the question presents itself, would the Phillies actually make a move for Juan Soto? And let me tell you a few reasons why it makes sense and why I think people who are against this idea are frankly flat-out foolish. So there's been a lot of names are going to fly around the trade deadline, and if they trade deadline 2 weeks, 13 days from now. And so whether it's Juan Soto, whether it's Shohei Ohtani, hard to remember a trade deadline in which so many players, so many high-name players, high-profile players were on the block the way that they are right now. But you could have the best player in the game and a generational talent in Ohtani possibly on the move as a rental, and you could have Juan Soto on the move who somehow wouldn't even be the headliner, even though he is one of the best hitters in baseball, like a top five player in the game. And Soto, who is not, you know, has won the World Series, was the right fielder on the Nationals World Series team in 2019. He's 24 years old, is absolutely a guy the Phillies should be in on. And the Phillies could use a left fielder in place of Kyle Schwarber, and maybe you find a spot for, you know, depending on what happens with Bryce Harper at first base, you probably play Soto in left every day, and you DH Schwarber, and Harper's playing first. But when you're dealing with hitters that good, I mean, you're dealing with the best, for as good as the Braves lineup is, for as good as the Dodgers have been for years, you're looking at probably the most feared lineup at its best in maybe all of baseball, in the National League, definitely in the National League, if you had a lineup of Harper, of Castellanos, of Soto, of Trey Turner. Imagine if they were all clicking even at 70%, let alone 100%. You're adding another perennial all-star, probably the best hitter in your entire lineup, and best young hitter in your entire lineup by trading for Juan Soto. It's something they should absolutely consider. And I think where the foolish part of people saying that they don't want to trade him comes from two places. Number one, people who saw him over the weekend and have a little bit of recency bias on, I'll say, the way he plays the game. Juan Soto, not exactly a traditionalist. He's not exactly a, you know, just put my head down and play kind of guy. He likes to have, you know, some new age antics in the box. He likes to dance around. He likes to showboat on home runs, as he took 30 seconds to get around the bases or close to it with a home run on Friday night. And he also is a player who, you know, has not always hustled. He's a bit of a young punk, is what I'm trying to say. And Bryce Harper was that way too at one point in his career. And then he matured and he pandered to the city of Philadelphia, and he's one of us now, right? Like Juan Soto, if you're as good as he is, this is a quote unquote down season for him, he's still got a 900 plus OPS, and when he's really, really good, hitting over 1,000 OPS, and one of the most feared hitters in all of baseball, like, you're not going to care that he's doing those little antics in the box. Frankly, I think something Philadelphia would get really into when he's doing it for us, because he's the type of player you hate if you go against him, and you love when you have him. Juan Soto, I think, makes a ton of sense for this Phillies team. He's under contract for another year and a half, and that's the reason why I think it ultimately makes sense more than to say a guy like Shohei Ohtani. There's no denying, in my opinion, that Ohtani is the gold standard in Major League Baseball right now. Like, he is head and shoulders the best player in the game at the moment. And yeah, you would love to go get the best player in baseball on your team. Me saying I'd prefer Soto to Ohtani is not a Soto is better than Ohtani take. The guy's a stud pitcher and also is going to lead the league in home runs. Like, he's just on another planet from the rest of Major League Baseball. But Soto is under contract for another year. All reports indicating, my read on it is, he would have a much higher percentage chance of re-signing with the Phillies ultimately. If John Middleton is willing to fork over the cash and make a serious offer for Juan Soto at the end of the 2024 season, then this is 100% something they need, like Dave Dombrowski should try and make happen. And even if he isn't, like, even if it is just a bit of a rental, you're still getting, or you're not positive that you would bring him back. Which, again, it would be foolish not to try and pursue that and try and keep Juan Soto here. You'd have a year and a half to recruit him, hopefully two playoff runs. But even if you didn't get him back, that's two playoff runs, hopefully, you have with Juan Soto. And, again, one of the best lineups, if not the best lineups, in all of Major League Baseball. How could you turn down that opportunity? Why? Because you're afraid the Phillies are going to give up too much. So it's a, you know, mindset number one is, oh, I don't think Soto would fit here. He's a bad clubhouse guy. He's not thriving in San Diego the way he did in Washington. You don't want that type of guy in your team because you think he's going to spoil it. You think he wouldn't be able to figure it out with his old hitting coach, with some of his old teammates, and frankly, a clubhouse that is a strong veteran leadership and a team that went to the World Series last year. Like, he fell around short, and the Padres have kind of spiraled out of control ever since last year's NLCS. I think this is absolutely something the Phillies should consider. I think the Phillies should put a guy like Andrew Painter on the board here, and I'll get to that in a minute. But to say that you don't want Juan Soto, to say that he doesn't fit, I think it's just frankly ignorant to how good he truly is. And yes, it's going to take a lot to go get a guy like Juan Soto. Yes, you'd have to probably trade Andrew Painter, who's might need Tommy John surgery. He's not going to pitch this season. And yes, he is a tremendous, tremendous prospect that the Phillies have coming up through the organization, and you could always use more pitching. But the opportunity to trade for a guy like Juan Soto with a year and a half left on his deal, that talented, and frankly, with this good of a chance to re-sign him, I just don't think is one anyone can afford to turn down. So my stance as I wake up here today, again on July 19th, on this Wednesday, is that the Phillies absolutely need to be in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. Absolutely, Andrew Painter should be on the board. Dude, that should not be the reason. The Phillies shouldn't really hold back at much. If Juan Soto is indeed on the table from the Padres, this needs to be a move that's made within the next 2 weeks. Get him in your lineup down the stretch of the season. Could you imagine a lineup of, you know, Juan Soto hitting, Trey Turner hitting two, Juan Soto hitting three, Bryce hitting four, Castellanos five, and Schwarber leading off? Now you got JT batting sixth and Bohm hitting seventh. I can't even fathom. How do you even pitch to that? Who do you pitch to? You pitch around Trey Turner to get to Soto. You pitch around Soto to get to Harper. You pitch around Harper to get to Castellanos. That is murderer's row. That is a modern-day murderer's row if you can get Juan Soto on this baseball team. Left field is a position that the Phillies need to target anyway. If Bryce Harper is going to play first base and he's going to ramp up and kind of be the first baseman moving forward here in the year 2023, I absolutely, absolutely think the Phillies should pursue Juan Soto to the fullest. I absolutely think Andrew Painter, even as good of a prospect as he is, should be on the table in this particular case. And I think the people who are not in 100% in on the idea of getting Juan Soto are foolish, and they're not acknowledging what he is. They're getting caught up in what they believe his character is in the clubhouse, what they believe his defensive deficiencies are. And I get it. He misplayed a number of balls over the weekend against the Phillies, and that was kind of under a microscope in terms of Phillies fans' opinions of him. He's not your prototypical old-school ball player, but I think Juan Soto to Philadelphia would be an instant fan favorite. I think people would quickly get over it when you see this guy's level of production. And frankly, when he's doing the Soto shuffle in a playoff game for the Philadelphia Phillies, everyone's going to love that guy the same way that you would hate him if he was playing for the other team. So I want Juan Soto. I want Dave Dombrowski to stop at nothing to get Juan Soto. I think Andrew Painter, and maybe even if it takes Mick Abel or a number of other prospects within the organization, I think you are saying to the world, hey, I just made a big splash move. We fell two games short of winning the World Series with the lineup we have right now. Making a move like Juan Soto, that puts you over the top. That says to the baseball world, we're serious. We're contenders. We want to be champions in the year following losing the World Series last year. I think that would be an incredible move for this franchise. So that's kind of where I stand right now. On the other side, going to get to kind of dive into last night's game a little bit, preview tonight's game. You're listening to the Phillies Today podcast. I am your host, Dan Wilson. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast with your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you day following the Phillies winning 4-3 over the Milwaukee Brewers. And just want to give you my quick takeaways on the game. First and foremost, well, Phillies win four in a row. They, again, as I mentioned to start the show, 10 games above 500, which is the highest mark above 500 they have been this entire season. And we're looking at a ball club that is worth investing fully in. It's worth going all in. I think the Phillies are playing their best baseball right now. And it's good that it's prior to the trade deadline, because that might, you know, inspire or incentivize Dave Dombrowski or frankly, ownership to go all in on a player like Juan Soto even more, because you can see that this team is back at the level of baseball they were playing a year ago, back at the level where it's like, hey, they could go to the World Series. And getting a player like Juan Soto could be the difference between, you know, playing in the World Series and winning the World Series. And ultimately, last year, it came down to, you know, the bats in the end just were not good enough. And, you know, besides game three against the Astros at home, if you're going to have a World Series performance like that, where unless you're getting signs, Lance McCullers is tipping signs, you need to go get another offensive bat and prove that we're serious about contending for a title. So the fact that the Phillies are playing as well as they're playing right now leading up to the deadline is certainly a good thing. So takeaways from the game last night, Number one, first and foremost, it was good to see Aaron Nola pitch as well as he did against a team in the Brewers who are leading the NL Central right now and are a legit lineup. Much was made of the fact that coming out of the All-Star break, Rob Thompson started Christopher Sanchez, like didn't really reset the rotation the way some teams do. Christopher Sanchez started on Friday. Nola ended up missing the entire Padres series and pitching on Tuesday, which gave him 9 days rest instead of five. And it certainly looked like it paid off. Like he made it clear that the All-Star break is supposed to be some extra downtime. I'm not going to move my better pitchers up and act as if there is no All-Star break for them because they're not, you know, with the team. They're doing off-day stuff in between starts, right, that they weren't ordinarily doing because they were out for the All-Star break and they weren't with the team. They tried to take a few days away from baseball as opposed to doing their throwing program and things of that nature. So I thought it was a smart move by Rob Thompson. They won four of the last five. Christopher Sanchez was the only game they did not win, and the offense didn't show up much for that game anyway. So I thought that was ultimately a good move by Topper, and it certainly paid off. So that was takeaway number one. Aaron Nola, nice to see him. I mean, it's got to be more consistent. I think everyone's in agreement on that. His ERA is now down to 4.27, and he pitched 7 1/3, allowed 2 earned runs last night. You'd like to see that ERA consistently come further down and Aaron Nola be more consistent of an arm. But I like the fact that he pitched a 9 days rest, and I felt good and confident about him going to last night's game, and that certainly paid off. So Nola looked really good. Kyle Schwarber just continues to be an animal in that leadoff spot. And it was also funny. I referenced Rob Thompson on the WIP morning show earlier in the show. And the fact that we are still at a point where, like, there's arguments as to whether he should be the leadoff guy or not, I think it's just kind of a matter of mindset, whether you can wrap your head around it. The guy hits below 200, we know, but he walks a ton and he hits home runs. And he hits a lot more home runs out of that leadoff spot than he does in any other part of the lineup. It doesn't really seem to translate when you move him further down. And certainly conventional logic might say, well, if he hits so many home runs, maybe you want him in the middle of the order so there are guys on base. He likes to hit well out of that leadoff spot. And I hate usually in sports using the term the it factor, but he's got something. Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot has something of an it factor. And he's obviously a really talented player. He's a leader. This offense seems to go as he goes. And if you can get over the fact what his batting average is, if you can look at his on-base percentage, the amount of times he walks, the amount of times he hits the ball out of the ballpark, and, you know, when he's batting leadoff as opposed to fourth or fifth, then you can start to wrap your head around the fact that he's hitting leadoff. Also, the Phillies just win a lot more. I mean, their winning percentage is, you know, around 750 when he is in the leadoff spot as opposed to not. So call it an it factor, say that it's unconventional, whatever you want. Kyle Schwarber, it was unclear whether he was going to hit leadoff coming out of spring training to begin this season. They signed Trey Turner in the offseason, and there are a lot of questions. He's certainly more of a prototypical leadoff type of guy at shortstop, and both guys were professionals about it. I'm sure they both have, you know, pros and cons in their own minds as to whether they would like to lead off or not. But ultimately, Turner's been a pro about it. He's been hitting second. He also hasn't played up to expectations. Kyle Schwarber continues to have a Kyle Schwarber season batting first. He led off the game with a home run last night, always sets the tone, and the Phillies are great when he does that. And sure enough, they won the game 4-3. So that was takeaway number two. Takeaway number three is just how great this bullpen continues to be. Gregory Soto, I think, was a big bounce-back performance for him coming in and in the middle of the eighth inning last night and pitch only needing five pitches to get through it. And then Craig Kimbrell, a 12-pitch save. Craig Kimbrell was a guy who earlier in the season did not... It's been a hell of a signing by Dave Dombrowski. And earlier in the year, very unclear as to whether that would actually pay off for the Phillies or not. And the fact that he has pitched so well, he got himself into the All-Star break or into an All-Star game appearance as an alternate. And we're looking at a guy that has been, he never comes in earlier than the ninth inning, but you don't really worry about the ninth inning much anymore these days. And that's after he threw 30 pitches in the All-Star game. So the fact that he isn't really showing much signs of decline. That was my biggest fear with him and Castellanos, so that they would make the All-Star team and then you'd see a steady drop-off. We have not seen that with Craig Kimbrell. Castellanos, you know, a little bit on the radar, a little bit on alert following that Padres series. But then last night he did get a hit and he drove in a run. So hopefully that was just, you know, one little series where he showed signs of 2022 chasing balls. He hit a ball on a bounce back to Blake Snell. And you hope that's not here to stay. But man, oh man, if they could, if Craig Kimbrel can actually make it through the end of the season and be the Craig Kimbrel, the all-star Craig Kimbrel that we've seen this year, it's huge for this Phillies team. And this bullpen has been at full strength without Sir Anthony Dominguez, without Jose Alvarado, but it continues to be a strength for this team. And the way that just a couple of years ago, every game would get blown when you bring in the bullpen, I actually trust this bullpen for the most part. And guys who you wouldn't even necessarily think you trust. The Jeff Hoffmans of the world who gave you two innings and extras the other day. Gregory Soto, Craig Kimbrel are, you know, some of the bigger names that were used last night. Or even Junior Marte sometimes pitches big innings. So I think the bullpen was really, really big for them last night and has been big for them this season. Those are my three takeaways on the game. Phillies back at it tonight against the Brewers. Game two of that series. It'll be coming up at 6:40 on the mound really quickly in that game. It'll be Colin Ray going up against Christopher Sanchez. So hopefully the Phillies didn't fare so well in the spot in the rotation the last time. Hopefully they can get it better this time around. Hopefully the Phillies can get it to five in a row. That would be pretty nice, too. That'll do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Stay tuned back tomorrow for Francisco Rojas. I have been your host, Dan Wilson.